These are the sounds of a rainy summer's day in Blackheath Forest in the Surrey Hills, about an hour's train south from central London. A rainstorm has just passed over, soaking the bark of the young Scots pine saplings. I'm Liz K. Miller, and this podcast introduces my listening practice, Sylvan Sounds. In this recording, you'll be able to hear as the wind picks up and flutters the leaves of the birch trees. Two pines have grown just close enough to touch, and as the wind pushes them back and forth, you can hear them creak as their water-saturated barks rub together. I hung the tiny Omni microphones I used to make this field recording right next to where the trees touched, so the creak is amplified. This is a sound that would normally be hidden amongst the other sounds that you can hear in this recording. The birds, the wind, and the planes going overhead to Gatwick Airport. Within the discipline of soundscape ecology, sounds are grouped into sounds made by animals, birds and fish, biophony, sounds made by earthly elements, like the wind, rain, thunder and fire, which is geophony, and anthropophony, all sounds made by humans, from speech and music to technology and industry. And my work asks, where do the sounds made by trees fit into all of this? Thank you. This is the sound of dry oak leaves clattering in the wind in Glencairn Forest in North Wales. It's early April and the buds of new growth are here, but last year's leaves refused to let go. Listening to the susurration of the leaves makes me think about where the sounds of trees might fit into the biophony, or the geophony, or the anthropophony. Trees are alive, so they're not an earthy element, but they're not animals, so they're neither biophony nor geophony, and they're certainly not anthropophony. Trees are essential to the forest ecosystem, and yet their sounds have no place in our classification. I'd like a new classification. The sounds of trees should be the dendrophony, from the old Greek word for tree. But in my work, I also like to call them sylvan sounds, from the Latin for wood or forest. As I spend more time listening in the forest, I've started to hear the subtler sounds of the dendrophony. But I'm still experiencing the forest from a human perspective. If I could explore the sounds within trees, sounds that are just beyond the range of human hearing, what might that reveal? This is the sound of wood ants building a nest in the fallen pine needles at the foot of a very young Scots pine sapling, recorded on a hot July day in the Forest of Mar in the Scottish Cairngorms. Again, the sound is hard to categorise. Are we listening to the biophony of the wood ants, or the dendrophony of the pine needles, or both? The sound can't exist without either the wood ants or the pine needles. The next recording is from Glenafric in the Scottish Highlands, just after the spring snows. It's from another ant's nest, but this time they're carpenter ants, burrowing into a pile of felled birch logs that I found decomposing in a wet bog. The carpenter ants and the wood ants use different sylvan species, pine and birch, and different sylvan materials, needles and trunk, resulting in completely different sylvan sounds. But internal sylvan sounds aren't restricted to decay and decomposition. Here are the sounds of growth and life inside a living tree. These sylvan sounds come from an ash tree in Scotswood on the banks of the Helford River in Cornwall. You can hear two sylvan sounds, the grumble of the tree moving in the wind and the pop of the water moving up the tree in the woody xylem vessels just beneath the bark of the trunk. This is the sound of transpiration. In the recordings of the ants, I used contact microphones, but these aren't sensitive enough to pick up transpiration. So this recording is made using designer Alex Metcalf's tree listening device. The device looks a bit like a Victorian ear trumpet. You put the trumpet end up against the tree and listen through the tapered end. Here's Alex describing how it works.
If you cup your ear against a tree trunk in the right way, and you get the right angle and you're listening kind of intensely enough, you can hear the tree's vibrations. Whether or not people can hear the sound of water with a naked ear, I would be sceptical, because I know that my listening device is amplifying the sound over 400 times, and even then, you know, it's not the loudest sound that we can hear when we were recording. The overall sound, the loudest sound, is the movement of the tree. As the tree's sitting in the ground, it's picking up vibrations, not just from the wind moving the branches and the branches sending vibrations down through the trunk, it's also picking up vibrations from the ground and then travelling up. And so you've got a lot of low frequency rumbly, kids describe it as a motorbike engine or a thunderstorm sort of thing.
This is geophony in concert with dendrophony, the wind moving the tree to create the grumbling sound.
A And then in the background to that, the popping sound, which I describe as a kind of a Rice Krispie crackly pop, that is the water as it travels up the xylem tubes, and the water enters into an air-filled chamber in the xylem tubes. So the xylem tubes are not one continuous column or straw. They are interlinked and have valves, and when water enters into an air-filled pocket, it spins, which is a cavitation, and that cavitation creates a pop.
This soundscape is a dendrophony duo, two different sounds created by movement of water and wind inside this ash tree. Now, instead of listening to the water moving up through a tree, we're listening to water raining down on the forest floor. This is the first rain in months hitting the dry forest earth during a summer heatwave in the Forest of Mar. But the recording is from a perspective that humans don't normally experience, from beneath the forest floor. You could imagine being down there with the earthworms and the tree roots, listening to the drumming of the rain. I find that shifting to a non-human perspective like this helps me to understand the forest a little better. Thank you. Back in Blackheath Forest, these are the sounds from inside a forest puddle on a rainy June day. You can hear the train hoot in the distance, the anthropophony, as well as the biophony of the birds. But they all fade into the background compared to the sounds of the raindrops. I like this example of how a non-human perspective can completely change a soundscape. The final Sylvan sound of this podcast wasn't recorded by me. It was gathered by the sound designer, Joe Langton. It's the sound of creaking again, but this time from below the ground, from tree roots. Joe made this recording at the Dunes du Pilat on the coast near Bordeaux in France, right where the dune meets the pine forest. Here's Joe describing this fascinating landscape.
The Dunes du Pilat is the largest sand dune in Europe. It's far higher than the tree line, and there's a forest behind it and the Atlantic Ocean on the other side. So you've got these pine trees struggling, putting their roots down, And what you can hear is this kind of squeaking. And I can't say that I'm certain. I didn't put a camera down there, so I don't know for 100% whether that might have been insects, but I'm pretty sure it was the sound of tree roots kind of trying to cling on with the sand dune ever growing, this kind of monster sand dune moving forwards and taking over the forest. There was actually an airstrip there, which the sand dune has completely engulfed. And there was a village on the edge of this forest, which the sand dune has completely engulfed. In my mind, the sound of these roots kind of rubbing up against each other and trying to cling on to life and to keep the sand dune at bay.
One of the reasons Joe made this recording was to document changing landscapes during this time of climate breakdown. For me, listening to sylvan sounds is a way of reconnecting with forest landscapes in the uncertain and rapidly changing time of the Anthropocene.